Okay, on page three, maybe we'll chaza a little bit, one paragraph. So we'll chaza a little bit on page three, all the way on the bottom, on the right-hand column of page three. The paragraph, we'll just review. We did that paragraph. We'll just to go back in because we missed it last week. The paragraph beginning with the word Bram, Hine Yesh, Vahashem is Baruch. So page three, right-hand column, on the bottom. Those who are here, remember that we were talking about the problem of Yeyush in the present. A person who believes that in the future things can change and everything is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that doesn't necessarily transform the present moment into my life into an opportunity to feel Simchas HaChaim and to feel alive, to be excited about davening. A person who's going through challenges and difficulties while believing that everything ultimately is for the best, it's not ultimately. That word ultimately comes up a lot in Shiurim and in Nechama that people give each other. There are different ways you could say the word ultimately, but it all means the same thing. It means it's not now. And I mentioned this once in the past that I got a big musaf from one of the children when they were little. So I don't remember which one of the children was it that was bothering me during a certain time. I was very busy with a few things about going, I think, to the park or something. And I said, Emiyot Hashem, we'll go. So she said to me, no, I really want to go, not this Emiyot Hashem thing. And when she was little, she said that. She didn't know exactly what it meant, Emiyot Hashem, but she understood that it meant not now. Not now, or maybe not at all. And she said, I don't know what that is, but I don't like the way it works out, that Emiyot Hashem thing. I want to go now. So when we get older, we become more sophisticated. And with the Emiyot Hashems, we also have other nice ways of saying or stating and restating our belief that ultimately it will be good. In the end, things will work out. But that ultimately, as you and I have learned over the years, doesn't necessarily give us the resources within ourselves to feel Simchas HaChaim right now and to be alive right now. And the feeling is, well, when that ultimately happens, then ultimately I'll be okay. I believe in Hashem, and I believe that ultimately it will work out. And we know what? When it ultimately works out, then I'll ultimately smile again, and I'll be happy again, and my heart will be full. But for now, at this moment, I'm feeling yeyush. I'm feeling lost, and I'm feeling out of things. So the only way that we can address this issue, as the Mechaber here explains, Rav Kluger explains, is by trying to understand what good and what kedusha and what simcha is there, even in this inyan of yeyush. This is the way that the Talmid Baal Shem all approach everything in life. Not with the ultimately, but for right now, this second. What is the toiv? What is the good this second? In the inyan of Yeyush. Now Yeyush is a very negative concept. We spoke about Yeyush and Halacha. I'm just reviewing a little bit. We spoke about Yeyush and Halacha, which means to give up. You lose something, you drop a ring in the ocean, in the sand, it's fafal. And you no longer have any hope that you'll ever see that again. It means giving up hope. And there were tzaddikim, big tzaddikim, the famous two tzaddikim, Rabbi Nachman Breslov and Rabbi Tzadok HaKain, who said, Ein shum yeyush ba'olam klal. There's no such thing as a Jew ever being misyayish. And yet, the mitzias is that a person feels yeyush. And the truth is that in all likelihood, you're not going to see that ring if you dropped it in the ocean. You'll never see it again. That's the likelihood. Again, you could say ultimately you'll get that ring back. But that doesn't help you for right now, the ultimately. So what is there in Yeyush itself? We need to try to understand, in Yeyush itself, what is there that can help us contend with the loss of Simchas HaChaim in the present moment? So let's review again a little bit that paragraph on page 3, right here in column on the bottom. Bram. Hine yesh v'ashem esbach noitel min odem esan yisoyin, v'tnufa achas mekav relov biyodai haruchuma, laharoysa bibihirus ki'ein mu'uma, zulasi mishan umiftach olav yisbach. Sometimes it happens in life that all of a sudden the decision is no longer left up to you. You see, we're constantly making decisions, and we're constantly being tested. Are we going to decide in a way that is showing and demonstrating to Hashem our belief in Him, or are we chalila making a different choice? And we live with constant nisyanis. There are times, however, where Hashem takes away the nisyan. Not necessarily in a good way. This is what we talked about at the end last time. But sometimes you simply don't have any other choice. You don't have a choice. Sometimes Hashem shows us that there are no options. There are no alternatives whatsoever. There's only me. Either you believe in me or you don't believe in me. But as far as Dr. X or Dr. Y, or as far as this potential solution or that potential solution, there aren't any more options. It's finished. So there's only one thing you could do, is to turn to Hashem. Noitel hemenu is called tikva yisahatzol v'atshuva shebidei enosh. Sometimes Hashem takes away any possible salvation that you could have through any other means, through some other person or something else. Kol hamish anos v'hamiftachim she'enikolo es ha'shalva. Until now, you were relying upon many things. A person, we all depend upon certain things, certain statistics, and the pranasa that's going okay, and Baruch Hashem, the health, and so on. And sometimes Hashem shows a person, ma'reyu ba'alil, ki dalhu v'choser koyches bli hisamchus al Hashem esbar. Sometimes Hashem takes away from you any alternative, anything else that you could depend upon. Ma'amidoi reik v'choser kol b'fnei ha'emes elokis ha'achas v'yichida. And Hashem, at that moment, at that time in your life, makes it clear to you. There's no other choice. Either you trust in me, and if you don't trust in me, there's no alternative. Eino miniach le'mokim litois. You no longer have the opportunity to make some sort of a mistake and to think that the Yeshua is going to come in some other way. All the doors have been closed. The Yeshua is not coming any other way. Eino miniach le'mokim litois. Meisir zehester adshikra ein l'kol po'ul efshar zacheres zulas leida ki ata pa'alta. So we say in Davin Hashem Kippur, we saw we saw it earlier in this maimer. V'yeda kol yitzur ki'at yitzarta, v'kol pu'ul ki'at pa'altoi. In all the davening of Shini, we say, V'yeda kol pu'ul ki'at yitzur ki'at yitzarta, kol pu'ul sh'at pa'altoi. That every single thing that exists will know that the only cause of life and the only cause of existence is Hashem Yisbarach. There's nothing else. U'malchusai ba'kol mashalom. And Hashem's malchus is everything. So, when we're not desperate, and we have different ways of getting out of a jam, and different ways, or different people, or things that we can rely upon, so we don't feel that. V'yeda kol yitzur ki'at yitzarto. V'yeda kol pu'ul ki'at pa'alto. V'yoyim kol ashir neshomi ba'apoi. We don't feel that. But sometimes Hashem Yisbarach makes that clear. And He takes away all the hest upon Him, all the concealment, all that's covering that truth. Hashem Once the person no longer has the ability or the luxury of making a mistake and relying upon anything else, the mistake that we always make is that we don't need Chazdei Shamayim. We think that somebody else is going to take care of it for us, not Hashem. But once that game is over, then the person becomes much softer, and it's much easier for him to acknowledge Hashem. It's much easier for him to be machnia himself, to humble himself before Hashem. Nishbar libay lumakim, and his heart then breaks, and he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. K'may Mechazal, the Gemara says, Agamolin ruban ksheirim. Camel drivers, it's not a popular panosa these days, at least among Jews, but camel drivers, ruban ksheirim. The Gemara says the most camel drivers are ksheirim, meaning that they're good Jews. They're ksheirim. Why? Well, Pirush Rashi explains. Because camel drivers are away from all of society. They're by themselves, and they're crossing the desert. It's a dangerous place. There are different kinds of animals, and there are also, there would be, in those days, there were robbers and other dangerous people that were hanging out over there. The Yireim Lanavsham. And they were afraid for their lives. And because of that, umeshabrim libam lamakim, their hearts would be broken on a regular basis, and they would turn to Hashem. In other words, there were people that didn't have any options but to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were in the desert. And the way that they earned their living by crossing the desert, and the dangers that were in the desert, and the loneliness, and the desperation when they were in trouble in that place, and the inability to turn anywhere else, made these individuals close to Hashem. These were people, the Gamolim were people who were kosher Yidden. They were kosher Jews. Because they didn't delude themselves into thinking that there are other ways to save themselves. They knew 100% all the time that there's only a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And when a person sees that, when a person realizes that, then he could daven very, very well. Then he can daven. And a person who's ever felt that, God forbid, a person who's ever heard doctors say, I'm sorry, another doctor saying, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry. And the feeling that it can't be, that there must be some mahalach, there must be some way to help. And the doctor's saying, I'm sorry, we don't know of any way to help. And all of those doors are closed. And then you could even turn to the alternative medicine people and all different kinds of H's. And all doors are closed. That person doesn't talk during davening. That person knows how to daven. Not only that person, when he sees other people, it could be that he was the biggest talker in shul, but now when he sees that there are people that are not davening seriously, he can't believe it. It doesn't make sense then. How could you not daven? How could you not daven? Rabbi Nachman of Jerusalem has said that at the time of davening, a person should feel that he's dangling by a thread over a big, big ocean. And in one second, the hand that's holding him could let go. And that's a feeling when you daven. That feeling of davening that depends on, I have nobody else in my life to turn to. That's the sherish of davening. Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen writes in Sikkas HaTzadik that when it comes to learning, the more a person knows, the greater the learning. When it comes to davening, the less a person has, the greater the davening. That's why David HaMelech said, Tfila la'ani, the tfila of the poor person. Because the poor person turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't have any other means, any other eitzah. He turns to Hashem. So tfila la'ani, there's something special. Chazal tell us, we have tfila la'David, tfila la'maisha, but the highest level of davening is tefillah la'ani, is the prayer of the poor person. He doesn't have anybody else to turn to. No one else is lending him any money. He's on his own. Tefillah la'ani. That's why in our generation it's very, very hard. Davening is the biggest problem nowadays to daven. There are still people who feel that poverty. But Baruch Hashem, there have never been so many options or alternatives in ages like now. And there's never been as wealthy a generation as our generation that hasn't tasted of poverty. Baruch Hashem. But because of that, to a large extent, we've lost the real koyach of tefillah. Because Reb Tzadik says that tefillah depends upon that feeling of being chaser, of being an ani, of being completely, totally in Hashem's hands, and I have nobody else to turn to. The trademark of our generation is that there are a million places to turn to. There are a million opportunities for help. Therefore, the Gemara says the Gamol and Ruban Ksheirim. And the Gemara says that people who were sailors in boats, Ruban Chasidim, most of these were righteous people. Again, because they lived in constant danger in these boats out on the open sea. The Tomid Hain Berada Yosim and Hagamolim, they were trembling even more than the camel drivers being on the ocean. But then you have other kinds of people. Toib Shirai from the Gemara says the Gehenna. On the other hand, doctors, at least those doctors in those days, maybe now also, I don't know, but Toib Shirai from the Gehenna. Why? Why Toib Shirai from the Gehenna? In other words, camel drivers and sailors, they were more likely, the most likely candidates for Gan Eden. They were the best candidates for Gan Eden. And doctors are the best candidates for Gehenna. Why? Ein yorei min acholi. The doctor was confident that whatever would be wrong with him, he knew how to take care of it. U'macholoi ma'achol b'riyim. And he was always careful to eat only the best and healthiest foods. Ve'ne m'shabali b'lamokim. The doctor was the kind of a person, doesn't mean doctor that profession, but it means a person who feels that everything is fine, everything is okay, and he doesn't need Hashem. He's not in need of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody knows there's a famous teaching, I'm sure you've heard from the Rebbe Buna Pshischa, that Hashem punished the snake that he's going to eat the dirt. So the Rebbe Buna asked, why is that a punishment? His food is always available. He doesn't have to go on the E train or the A train or the F train. He doesn't have to worry about getting a job. It's a mechaya. So why is that the worst punishment? That Hashem punished the snake in Gan Eden that is going to eat dirt. That's terrific. He never has to worry. So the Rebbe Abunim said that that is the greatest punishment of all. The feeling that the snake has is that he has whatever he needs. It's right in front of him. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected the snake and turned away from the snake, he did that by giving the snake that kind of a life where he'll never ever feel that he needs the master of the world for his parnas. He feels that it's all, he's got it made. He has his panasa right in front of him. And you see, the Gemara says that we never saw that a behemoth was standing, well, the Gemara doesn't say this, but we never saw an animal that had to apply for unemployment or an animal that had to go on welfare. The animals have whatever they need. A ben adam, a human being, is a chaser by nature. He's lacking, he's missing. Hashem Zbar created us in such a way that we are creatures of need. There's no other animal in the world, there's no other creature in the world that is in need as much as a human being. And that's from the time that we're in the world, when we're babies, we're totally dependent upon our parents. Animals, other creatures in the world, after an hour or two or a day or two, they're on their own. So it's clear that Kadosh Baruch Hu created us in such a way that we should feel there's a chisaron, that we should feel vulnerable. We should feel in need. And we should remember that the only one who could answer that and take care of that is Hashem Yisbarach. That's what Hashem made us. Therefore, the camel drivers and the sailors, people for whom it was much easier, and it was very clear for them to see that every moment they were in Hashem's hands. So they were people that were naturally turning to Hashem and speaking to Hashem and connecting to Hashem and davening to Hashem. Mashiach came doctors who felt the confidence of being able to take care of themselves. They didn't feel, they don't naturally feel as much of a chisar. If something is wrong, I'll take care of it. And therefore, the doctor did not walk around. Doctors did not walk around brokenhearted. And if you don't have a heart that's broken, so it's very hard to daven. It's very, very hard to daven. Hashigra akvua, b'mokam ha'nira kibatuach. When a person lives in a set routine, and he lives a life where things seem very secure, and everything seems to be set and secure. L'loy sa'ar v'sakana, there are no storms in his life, he's not out on the ocean. V'sakana, he's not in any great danger. He even invests in a very, very safe way. And he owns this and he has that, and the money and everything else seems to be secure. Kemid bar yom, he's not in the desert, he's not in the ocean. Goyreim shalva muchletes, that brings a person to feel absolute tranquility and a sense of security. Ha'alula gam la'ashkiyach ha'samitziyas amitis, which can easily cause a person to forget the truth. Sh'Hashem es baruch mechayako, that every single second of life is from Hashem. Ha'odam chash oz ki libay shalom beinu levein atzma l'koinai. The person feels in that stable way of life that he has, he feels that his heart is complete, and everything between him and Hashem is baruch is fine, and he's not worried about anything. Muchan lahakir b'kach shahakol mi'ito is baruch. He's ready to acknowledge, as we all do, to say that Baruch Hashem, everything is from Hashem, I'm grateful for all that I have. And he feels satisfied and secure in that life that he has. He doesn't live on the edge. Most of our ancestors lived on the edge. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, for the most part, we don't live that way. We'll be going to get our next meal. In many ways, we're like the snake. Chalila. But in many ways, we're like the snake. Our cabinets are full. The refrigerators are full. Other people are afraid to open the cabinet because they can't hold themselves back from eating what's in the cabinet. And the refrigerators are so full that things are falling out when we open the door. Our grandparents, our parents and grandparents didn't grow up that way. For the most part, they grew up with, I would say, empty cabinets. They usually didn't even have cabinets. But they grew up from day to day and mouth, hand to mouth, one day to have. And because of that, they lived like sailors and like camel drivers. Where is my next meal coming from? How am I going to eat? And who's going to provide me with that? Where is it going to come from? So they lived in that reality of Ein Oid Milvadai. There is nothing, there's only God. Ein oid milvadai. It's much, much harder now to live with that truth of Ein oid milvadai. Because Ein oid milvadai, every one of us and our children think that milvadai, okay, theologically, of course, there's nothing but God. But everyone could write a whole list. You can go on Google to all the milvadais. There are a billion milvadais. Milvadai? Ein oid milvadai. There is only God. Nothing else. No one else, nothing else. But for our grandparents and great-grandparents, that was an obvious truth. For us and for our children and grandchildren, it's not obvious at all. The feeling is that there's plenty of milvadas. Even though, of course, they'll repeat, ain't on milvada, they'll say the words, they'll recite the words. But to feel that need and that desperation, to feel that anius, that poverty, it's not felt. To a large extent, it's not felt. Nowadays, again, for the most part, we don't live with that yediyah ki hino choser muchlat, that I have nothing. Kine choser muchlat. Hatzorach tomid rachmim v'chasodim, who's in constant need of Hashem's compassion and Hashem's kindness. Kegomel aleimai, like the baby that's being nursed by his mother, there's nothing else, there's only his mother. There's nowhere else for him to turn. He doesn't know of anything else. That's it, just his mother. Ach zmanim shal yiril nefesh, sakonav ra'oda, mishabim libel, shal odam lamokam. When a person, gotcha, goes through times that are frightening or danger, then the person's heart becomes broken. Mekanyan b'yaz tachlis abriya. And at that time in his life, the tachlis of his being in this world is much more easily reached, which is legale, he says, kvayd malchusi yisbarach, to be megale, to recognize and to feel malchus Hashem. That's the tachlis of why we're in the world. Remember, we spoke about this a few weeks ago. The tachlis is not to be happy. The tachlis is v'yeda kol pu'ul ki'ata pa'alta, kol yitzur ki'ata yitzata, v'yomikol ha'shem v'pa'apai, Hashem melech. That's the tachlis of our being in the world. The day that we were created, the day that Adam HaRishon was created, is Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah is the day of HaMelech. That's the tachlis of our being in this world, is HaMelech. Of Gilui Kvod HaMalchus, Gilui Kvod Shammai. That's the tachlis of being in the world. Not being happy. So when a person goes through times that are difficult or frightening, it's much easier for him to be mekayim the tachlis of his being in the world. Like the Medrash brings the famous story on the pasuk of Hashmi es kailach ki kailach arv marach nava, that I want to hear your voice. Hashem says in Shir Hashim, Hashmi es kailach, and the Medrash says, it's kailach sheshamati b'Mitzrayim. I want to hear the voice, that voice that I remember how you used to call out to me when you were in Mitzrayim. That Hashem says, he misses that. And the Medrash brings a mashal, that there was a beautiful princess, a beautiful girl that fell into a terrible hole in the ground, a pit. And there was a prince that was passing by and heard the crying and screaming, and there was and he rescued this girl from dying. And they fell in love and they were planning to get married. But she got very busy planning the wedding. She got very, very busy, you know, the dress and the seamstress and the colors and all the other stuff and the caterer. She got busy. I mean, Medrash doesn't say all that. I'm just paraphrasing. But she got very, very busy with all this stuff. So what did the prince do? So the Medrash says that the prince arranged with some chevra that they were going to make believe that they were thieves, that were going to frighten her and threaten her life. Now, it's not a nice way to treat the kala, and it's not anything anybody should try Lamaisa to do, but they did it, and she was busy taking care of invitations or dresses, whatever, and then she was attacked by these listen, by these scary guys, and she started to scream out for her prince. She started to scream out for the prince to come and save her, and she said, "Ay, Hashmi is Karla, Karla Shishamati b'Mitzrayim." So Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, the Medrash says, and he brought us. And we already were starting to take him for granted in such a short time. He brought us to the Yam Suf, to the ocean. We came to the ocean, and there was a big ocean in front of us, and the Egyptians were on behind us, and there were all kinds of animals that the Medrash says on the side. We had no place to turn. Then all of a sudden, what? Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem. And Hashem says, "Ay, Hashmi is Kailach, Kailach Shishamati Mitzrayim. I remember how you used to speak to me when you were in Mitzrayim. I remember you used to call out to me. I missed that. I missed that way that you used to call out to me. Hashmini is Kailach. Kailach Shishamati b'Mitzrayim." And that's the mashal that the Medrash brings. So Hashem is Baruch, the Medrash is telling us, Chazal is saying, that Hashem is Baruch brings us through different times in life. He brings us through different times because on our own, we feel that we have a million alternatives to Him. And we have many, many other sources for our salvation. So Hashem's Baruch brings us to times in life where all that stuff disappears. And we're left alone with nothing and nobody that could help. And then Hashem says, Hashminiyas Koylach, because the tachlis of being in this world is Hashminiyas Koylach, is to speak to Him and to have a relationship with Him and to be Megalek Kvoid Malchus Shammai. Rabbi Nachman once said that first Hashem whispers to a person, don't forget me. And then Hashem, if the person doesn't hear Hashem, says aloud, don't forget me. And then sometimes Hashem kicks the person in the stomach and says, don't forget me. Because he's very easy to forget. So that's what he's explaining. When the Kaimim by his Tachlis Abriya, Lagale says, Kvod Malchus Yisbarach. The Shivrain Libay La Hashem is Baruch. When the person's heart is broken, and he turns to Hashem, might say Adam Atzma Yoise Noki Umuzukach Vekarav. Those are the times in our lives where we're closest to Hashem. We're the most pure and the closest to Hashem. Maki Bechal Nime Ruchai V'Nafshai. He recognizes with every single fiber of his being, Ke'ein Lo Mu'uma, that he has nothing. Lefnei yomim le'rabim, a few days earlier, chashti k'safav, he felt that his money and his hainai and his all of his belongings, dirasai, his house, uma'inai, the place that he lived, heim le'hamachsa hamiti, those were his insurance policies. You know, it's a very, very sad thing that some of the pictures that they have when Jews were brought to concentration camp, especially there were German Jews who were more affluent, some of whom were more affluent, and some Hungarian Jews that were more affluent from the large cities. And they came off the cattle cars, they still were holding on to like minks. They had some minks. Mink coats and things that they took, silver and some things that they had, that were taken away from them, so they were told that they're getting their things back, of course. You think of the Rachmanis, that there were people to the last minute were holding on to these things, and they never ever would have imagined that people like themselves were going to be thrown together with everybody else in such a way that they were, the way they were taken away. And we very much hold on to these things in our lives. And it's very, very hard to let go when you have them. When you don't have them, then you turn to Hashem. But when you do have them, it's very hard. But Omri Hashem Machsi Mitzudosi, when the person would say the words, Hashem Machsi Mitzudosi, Hashem is my fortress, Hashem is the one who protects me. He is my shelter. It was just words in the Siddur. Just a davening. K'madrega shalav kol meichel sovel da. He thought that's a madrega, like David Melch was in a big madrega. And we say these words, Hashem machsi mitzadasi. We don't really feel the pshat in these words. Hashem machsi mitzadasi. Hashem is the only one who could protect me. We don't feel that way. Shigra Sachai, the routine of life. He Nikolai Mivtach Ki'ilu L'Netzach. The person felt that he was secure forever. Ki'ilu L'Netzach. V'neirichem Hashem Ezbarach V'gila. Hashem had Rachmanis on this Jew. V'gila She'ein B'chaim Mu'uma. And Hashem showed this person that there's nothing in life. Zula Aschiyas T'midis Mi'ita Ezbarach. There's nothing in life. Only the life that Hashem Yisbarach gives you every single second, that He breathes that life into you. Rega achar rega, every single moment. V'tadir nizka kanivra l'kabel chayim echadish, in every single moment, we have to receive life again, which is the truth. As the Tanya explains in the Shah Yichud Amunah. And the truth of our existence is that every single breath, kol haneshama tahalelka, al kol neshimu neshima, If we understood, if we felt this, if we believed this, we would thank Hashem for every breath. If, God forbid, a person is underwater and he can't breathe and he's stuck, and then he comes out from the water and he's able to take that breath, he feels that. Because for that scary minute that he was under the water and he couldn't find his way out, for that scary minute where he couldn't breathe, he felt that every breath comes from Hashem. But once he's up from the water and he's taken already his second and third breath, he's back on his own. And he feels that he's on his own. So what's it going to be like when Mashiach comes? Mitzia zutia gluya b'mloy tefarta l'es ha-gula. When Mashiach comes, every single second of our lives we're going to feel in the clearest way. In the clearest way. Ve'yeda kol yitzur ki'ati yitzarta. And kol pa'ul ki'ata pa'alta. Every single second we'll feel that breath coming into our nostrils from HaKadosh Baruch. Every single second, even though we'll have all of the brachas, a million times more than we could ever imagine, everything, more than we could ever dream of. But every single second, we'll feel that Hashem is mamash giving it to us. And that without Hashem, we have nothing. So we'll be the wealthiest people, and we'll be the poorest people. We'll be the wealthiest people with what we have, but we'll be the poorest with the realization that I have nothing. Absolutely nothing. All I have is Hashem. Nothing. B'iskayim u'mol ha'ariz de'es Hashem. Well, the Pasuk says that at that time of Mashiach, it will be u'mol ha'ariz de'es Hashem. K'mayim li'yam mechasem. That the world be filled with an awareness of Hashem. The way that the floor of the ocean is covered with the waters of the ocean, where every single second there's that recognition that everything here, every single drop of water, is filling my existence. And this is what the Navi Yeshayah is talking about what's going to be in the future. Hanavi, page 4. Hanavi Megoylel Hanavi Megoylel B'loshen Chazyon Ha'luki Es Ha'golus Ha'arucha Shabba Kisa Ha'rafel Ha'yitzivus Es Ha'emetz Elokis. The Navi describes what it was in Golus, what Golus really was, what it was during those years where there was this cloud of security that was hiding the Emes Elokis, the truth of Hashem, how everything is Hashem. That cloud that gave us that sense of security, as if there's an existence, as if there's a kiyum without a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Navi says, "Vatimale artzai kesef v'zav," and the land was filled with silver and gold. "Vein kotzel atzroisav," and the treasuries were filled with money. And there was no end to how many horses and chariots. And men were bowing down to the work of their own hands. Lashur also adds Boisov to what he made with his own fingers. He's bowing down. The Navi says that. Achimisoirus eis geula. But when there'll be his oirus of the redemption, Yomi ish la'achov la'achiv. Each one will say to each Jew will say to the other, "Boy b'tzur, come into the rock, like into the cave, v'hatmein ba'ofer, and hide in the dirt, b'nei pachad Hashem, for fear of Hashem, u'mehadar ga'oinai, the great glory and presence of Hashem, einei gavus adam shvel." The proud eyes of men are lowered. V'shach roim anashim, and the proudest of men are going to bow down, are going to be humbled. V'nizgav Hashem levadai b'yamahu. V'nizgav Hashem levadai b'yamahu. On that day, it will be only Hashem. It will be clear that it's only Hashem. V'nizgav Hashem levadai b'yamahu.
And then if he goes on, Yeshaya, in Perek Beis, he goes on, Ki yoyim la'ashem tzavoka yis al kol ge'evi rom al kol nosi hu shofel, v'al kol arzei ha'levonin ha'rom v'an nisoyim al kol eloini ha'boshan, that it will be a day of Hashem, on that day when Hashem will appear, all those who are proud and all those who are mighty will be lowered, and all the great cedars of the Levonin, Val Kol Ahorim Haron, Val Kol Agvos, and Yisos, and all the great mountains, Al Kol Migdol Gavoya, Al Kol Chaim Betzura, and every great fortress and every tool and fortified wall, Al Kol Anius Tarshish, and the great ships of Tarshish, Al Kol Shach Yisem Chemda, all everything, Vishoch Gavus Odom, and that pride and that conceit and that greatness of man will be lowered. Shofel Rum Anoshim. And that greatness of man will be lowered. V'nizgav Hashem levado b'yamahu, and Hashem will be alone on that day. And mistayemis nevuah zu, and this nevuah ends, b'kriya gedol of Bnei Yisrael, Hashem calls out to Bnei Yisrael, chilu lachem ha'adam, stop depending upon human beings, stop relying upon other people. Give up already with other people. Let go. Asher neshama va'apai. Ki b'men nechshev hu. Ki b'men nechshev hu. What is a human being that you're relying upon him? Ki b'men nechshev hu. V'ni moitze odem es atzmai. A person finds himself b'miftan hagul, on the threshold of redemption. When a person realizes that there's only Hashem, then even though it's not yet time for Mashiach, he's on the threshold of redemption. Oy teram bo, even before Mashiach comes, a person who understands this and lives this way, the Irish of Mashiach kvar meir loy, the light that's going to be revealed by Mashiach to this person, he already sees some of this light, because that's the light of Mashiach. The light of Mashiach is Umolar's Deus Hashem. The light of Mashiach is Bamen Nechshavu, is Venizgav Hashem Levada. That's Bayemo Yashem Echel Dushmeach. That's the light of Mashiach. A person who feels that now. Now the camel drivers and the sailors felt that more in their lives. And therefore they were greater Hasidim and greater Tzaddikim. They felt that more. The Venizgav Hashem Levada. When a person feels Venizgav Hashem Levada, a taste of that, then he's able to experience a little bit of the light of Mashiach before Mashiach comes. Because that's the whole inyan of Mashiach. The whole inyan of Mashiach is not what we're going to have. The whole inyan of Mashiach is going to realize that we have nothing, only Hashem. That's the whole light of Mashiach. Is to realize that we have nothing. All we have is a Kodesh Baruch. That's the Oireh Shel Mashiach. That's what Mashiach means. That's what Geula means. And therefore, for this person who truly believes in that now, Oyre Shemashiach Kvar Meir Loi, the light of Mashiach is already illuminating his life. He already feels the light of Mashiach, something of that light of Mashiach. Hakarka Shebaover Hoysi Yetziva Tachtov. Until now, earlier in his life, the earth beneath this person's feet was very strong. It was very stable. But Nirada, there's been an earthquake, been this pyra, and everything has crumbled. Matzovoi Mishamesh Kvar Edus Chayu Burulakol. His own life, the matzav that he's living in right now itself testifies in a clear way to everyone. Amen Nachshavu. Bamen nechshav hu. What is a person? Bamen nechshav hu. You see, sometimes it's Rachmanis also. You see, sometimes an old person who doesn't want to be old, who doesn't want to get old. Now nobody wants to let go of being young, but sometimes you find an old person that they try to act like teenagers and dress like teenagers. You know, that's a big Rachmanis. Sometimes you see an older person trying to behave like a teenager.
It's a big rachmanis. Ki b'men nechshav hu. He's not allowing that reality to set in. B'men nechshav hu. You're still playing that game. You're still making believe. You're 80 years old and you're making believe that you're 18 years old and that life's going to go on forever. B'men nechshav hu. B'men nechshav hu. To feel. B'men nechshav hu. That's why Chazal say that when Toiv Lechaz al Beis Ovel, it's better to go to a Beis Ovel than to go to a party, to go to a chasna. Doesn't mean it's nicer, it's more fun. We also go to chasnas. But what does it mean, Toiv Lechaz al Beis Ovel? Because in a Beis Ovel, a person comes to that truth, about Men Nechshavu, V'cha Yiten Alibay. V'cha Yiten Alibay. A person can begin to think that I'm not going to live forever. And with that thought of I'm not going to live forever, the ground underneath his feet that he was so comfortable on, he was so secure and he was so sure that everything was going to be this way forever, that ground crumbles beneath his feet. And he feels that vulnerability. And he feels that poverty. And he's able to daven a tefillah la'ani, a real tefillah. Therefore, in that way, Toiv Lechaz Beis Ovel, ki zeh Soif Adam. V'men nechshav hu. Ain't like Ma'uma. He has nothing. This person a minute ago was wearing her mink coat. And a minute later, it's everything is gone. Ba'men nechshavu. Ain't like Ma'uma. It's hard to feel that way when you have the mink coat on your back. It's hard to feel that way when you have everything. B'men nechshavu. B'men nechshavu. In Yonei Brius or Parnosa, all matters of health and Parnosa, Sheduchim or Gidlbonim, Sheduchim, raising children, Hakol Machrizim Moedim Be'etzim Haviyosa. Everything is constantly screaming out to us. Kiyesh Manig Lebir. Kiyesh Manig Lebir, that there's a Bari Olam, there's a Balabos, there's a Losei Ayin. And there's no one else, only him. But we don't hear this. We don't hear this. We don't feel this. Leis kazois. But when a person does go through a hard time. Now remember what Rav Kluger is explaining here. The kedusha that's found in a state of yeyush. Because it's davka in a state of yeyush. Not when you give up in Hashem. But when you give up in everything else, is Davka in that place of Yeish of giving up in everything else? Is Davka in that at that moment of giving up that you could let go? And you could find the immeasurable joy of throwing yourself back into Hashem's arms. Of meeting of a child who was separated from his mother for a long time and seeing his mother again. That feeling, that simchas achai, that can only come in a person is misyayish from everything else. So when the tzaddikim said, "Ein shum yeyush," that there's no such thing as yeyush by a Jew, it didn't mean there's no such thing as giving up one's wealth or giving up one's security. It meant there's no such thing ever as giving up one's connection to the Bari Olam. There's no such thing. And adarav, it's davke at that moment when the matzav of a person's life is most difficult. And it's davka at that moment that for the first time he could begin to daven. It could be that he never davened once his whole life. And the whole tachlis of his life was for that moment of davening. After that moment of davening, he could really leave the world. And after that moment of davening, he doesn't really need it. He has to davka stay in the world. Because he's come to that truth. Of Ein Od Mulvada. Which he never felt before. So in that yeyush, in that giving up, in that letting go, in that feeling of emptiness, that's davke, where a person can find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the clearest way, and connect Hashem in the clearest way. And as we're going to learn, it doesn't mean that a person has to go through suffering, chalila, or tragedies. We could come to this on our own while having those things. But it's hard.
That's why nowadays, as I said before, davening is much harder than learning. There are, Baruch Hashem, a lot of chevra that like learning and they can learn, but when it comes to davening, the Daf Yomi does much better than the Shemoneh Esrei Yomi. I'd like to see a project like that, and to get together 90,000 people for Shemoneh Esrei Yomi to celebrate that we daven the Shemoneh Esrei with Kavana. It's not going to happen, but not so soon. I hope it will. No, Daf Yomi, because that's, because why? Because there's a feeling of having. I learned, I know, I understand. Tefillah davening depends on not having. It depends upon a feeling of desperation. Look, we have 10 people, 10 men. During the summer, mostly, except for Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, and Monday morning, we have, during the week, there's 10 people here. You know, do the women know what goes on here in the morning? Should I tell you? I don't want to break your very good hearts, and I don't want to break your hearts. It's not with everybody, but you know what goes on. And it's not only here. I'm not saying there's something wrong, Chalila, with this place, Davka, because I'm talking to other people, it's the same problem. Whatever prayers we could have that at Marv, who's going to be here by Shachris? 10 hands are raised. Now remember, we have here, unfortunately, a few people are saying Kaddish. We have Chiyuv Mashem Yerachim. We have somebody here in Shloshim Mashem Yerachim. Hands go up, we'll all be here. One of the tzaddikim will say, Rabbi, say, please, please, davening is at 8, please try to come at 5 to 8. Please come at 5 to 8. Because we have here Chiyuv, there are people here that have to go to work. Sometimes we had a gentleman who was 85, 90 years old. 8 o'clock. 3 or 4 people. Not once, not twice. It's Kiseida. If you don't believe me, you can peek in here. What goes on? Good guys. Guys who like to learn. Well, somebody running in at 10 after 8 every time. Running in, 8:15. The Indian of davening is, there's no rotzen to daven. There's no feeling that davening is important. And then the same person could say, after making everybody wait, sometimes 15, 20 minutes. We had the 10th person, 2 weeks ago there was a 10th person who came here at 8:30. We were all waiting for him until 8:30. He didn't apologize, he just said, I'm not good with time. That's not the problem. The watch is not the problem. The clock is not the problem. Davening is an inconvenience. And the best thing is, when I'm ois gedavend. I davened already. It's such a good feeling after Shachris. I'm ois gedavend. I'm finished with Shachris. Now I have 2 more to go. 1 down, 2 more to go. Noch mincha? I'm ready. I have only 1 to go. And then after Marv, wow. I'm done. That's what's become of davening. And I'm talking among good and holy people. I'm not talking, God forbid, about people who are not from. Among good people. I'm done davening. Potter. I'm potter from davening. It's very, very hard to feel that need for Hashem. And I said once to one of the boys, you know, then on top of everything, he might daven a long Shemoneh Esrei, and the same people who kept waiting for 15 minutes, they have to wait for him during Shemoneh Esrei also. And I said to one of the boys last year, if you would daven a little bit, maybe in that Shemoneh Esrei, that Hashem should help you get up at 10 to 8. You can't give 10 minutes for the Bari Olam. Besides the Ben Orm L'Chaveiro, that I don't understand Ben Orm L'Chaveiro, how that works, if you could explain. I don't get it at all. Don't worry, I'm going to erase all this from the tape. I don't get the Ben Orm L'Chaveiro. I don't get it all. But the Ben Orm L'Malkam, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean when in a shul of Orthodox Jews, Kiseida, on a Shabbos morning, people come in 20 minutes late, half hour late? What does it mean? Do the women know what's going on? Do you know that this is going on?
They make fun of us.
Do you know what's going on? You come over here and you see that by davening, that there'll be 7, 8, 9, 10 guys standing out on the porch with the talisim or walking around. That's after they came a half hour late, and they don't even want to come into daven at all. Why not? They believe in Hashem. They don't need Him. There's no feeling of need. There's no feeling of poverty. There's no feeling of desperation. They wouldn't be like that by the doctor's office. They'd be banging on the door. I'm ready here 10 minutes. How come you don't let me in? Al zeh haya dover libeinu. Al eila chashchu einenu. We're not supposed to talk about these things because everybody has to make like everything is nice. But the emes is that this is missing from our lives. And it's sad because the only time that many, many people can feel this, the only time that we really feel this is when we're in trouble. It's when we're in trouble. And I don't wish, God forbid, on any of us, on any Jew. But on a regular Shabbos, I'm seeing this Parshas Veschanan, and after I gave this year, I'm walking. The guy's all over the place. Some people are coming, some people are going. Standing outside. It's the Parsha who said, they were laying in here. I dive in the early meeting, but they were laying in here. Shema Yisrael, the Balkar was saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem HaKadosh Hashem Echad. And the guy's outside talking. Shema Yisrael, Hashem HaKadosh Hashem Echad. Orthodox Jews. Orthodox people who bench lulav and build sukkahs and blow shofar and make Hanukkah. But without the Baruch Shalom. Without the Kodesh Baruch. We have to think about how to bring Hashem's Baruch back into our lives without, God forbid, without Chas V'Shalom being in trouble. Without, God forbid, being sick or losing something, or losing panosa, or someone that we love, God, to find a way to bring Hashem's Baruch back into our lives. That's the kedusha that a person feels, can experience, davke, when he's misyayish from the things that are around him. And he lowers his head like the Navi describes, and he's humbled, and he walks back into shul, and he puts his head down on the table, and he cries his heart out because he has a child that's sick. And now he's not hanging out outside during davening, talking to his friends about the latest iPod. Now he puts his head into the Aron Kodesh and he cries, Hashem, my child is sick. I'm begging you, please, I'm begging you. We have to wait for that. We have to wait for such things in our lives. To have tehillim rallies and things and service lo aleinu. The whole tachlis of being in this world is to talk to Him and to have a kesher with Him. And that it doesn't have to be, God forbid, in service. It could be in a good way, not in a bad way. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue. We'll try to finish this piece next week, Mitzvah Hashem.